This evening, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Galatians. And we're looking at Galatians chapter 1. I'll be going through verse 14 through the end of the chapter this evening. Galatians chapter 1, verse 14 through the end of the chapter. The book of Galatians is written by the Apostle Paul to the churches in the Roman region that was referred to as Galatia. Galatia, within that region, as we said last Wednesday night, contained a number of cities. This was a letter that was passed from church to church. And that's the way that the early letters that the apostles wrote, they were passed from church to church. Some of the letters you'll even see the apostles saying, make sure that this letter is sent. Paul wrote in one, sent on to the church at Laodicea. Or this letter is sent on to another church and so that they could hear and read what God had to say to them through the apostles. The New Testament, as we know it, was put together much later as these letters were gathered together and the Holy Spirit led godly men to arrange the scriptures as we know them today. And we're going to be looking at the book of Galatia. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatians because he's concerned about false teaching that's coming in and that they're losing sight of the freedom we have in Christ, but not only the freedom, the hope we have in Christ, and that these false teachers are coming in and telling them that they have to be placed back under the law and they have to earn their salvation. And Paul is animate, and he's going to begin in the study tonight. We're going to be looking at the fact that the Apostle Paul has come out from Judaism and he's come into this marvelous relationship with Jesus, and he wants to share through his testimony to the Galatians the importance of them sharing with others not only the hope we can have in Christ, but the freedom we have in Christ, and the fact that we don't earn our salvation, but Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and there's nothing we have to do but receive that gift and allow God's Spirit to work in our life to transform us and make us a new creature in Christ. Beginning at chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, or my conversation rather in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in my Jews' religion above many of my equals, mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son to me, that I might preach in him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, therefore, God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted was in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. And let's continue on through a few verses in chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up with revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom he gave place by subjection, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But these who seemed to be somewhat, whoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God maketh no matter, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in toward me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word tonight and help us to understand the Apostle Paul's concern. Lord, he desires to preach a gospel that is the true gospel. And he did. And Lord, he presented the gospel, which is a gospel where we are saved through the blood of Jesus and not of works, lest any man should boast, but rather by faith in the finished work of Christ. Lord, help us to be bold in our sharing and help us to realize you have called us just as you have called him. Lord, I pray now that you'd just speak to us through your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Peter, as I mentioned, was very concerned about what was happening at the church in Galatia. There had become a spirit of legalism that had entered into the church, where there had been false teachers who had come in and they presented a different gospel. Well, that happens because Satan desires that not only Christians stumble in their walk with the Lord and lose sight of our high calling in Christ and lose sight of the Messiah that has redeemed us with his blood, but then that makes us ineffectual as we begin to add or take away from the true gospel and present a different gospel to people, which is ineffectual in transforming their lives. We see that that's happening in the church today. There are many false teachers that have come in and many false things that are being taught, where there's other gospels that are being presented, other Jesuses that have been introduced that are not the Son of God and they're not the gospel of Christ that are presented to us in God's Word as the only means by which we can be saved. And so consequently, it really makes the church so that we do not have any power against the world and its system. And I think that's one of the big problems we see today. The Apostle Paul wants us to, through his background and through what God did in his life, understand that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he did the same thing for you. It wasn't the same circumstances as Paul had, and it wasn't the same situation that Paul had, nor did none of us here have been called to be apostles. But yet each one of us has been called out of darkness into light and transformed that we can be ambassadors for Christ and share the gospel. Let's take a look at these verses this evening. Let's begin. And Paul begins and he says, "But I certify to you." Now, Paul is telling them, "I'm going to tell you and I'm going to share with you and I'm going to certify means I'm going to reveal to you and I'm going to reveal to you what are the credentials that give me the right to say that I'm an apostle and that I am presenting to you the accurate gospel and the true gospel." And so the certification is of his right to share and the message he does share. When you certify something, you're saying, yes, this is reality, this is truth. For example, if you're a notary public, every time you sign your name and put the stamp on it, you're certifying that, yes, that is the person that signed this document in front of me and that that is his signature. Paul is certifying that this is the true gospel and I have been called just as I've stated. So what's the certification about and what's he going to certify? He says, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. In other words, he's saying, this is not a gospel that was made up by men. There's a lot of teachings, even in the church today, that are teachings of men. We've talked about some of them just briefly. Contemplative prayer comes from men. It doesn't come from God. We see that Chrislam comes from men. It doesn't come from God. We see that there are other false teachings that are entering in the church. The prosperity gospel comes from men. It doesn't come from God. Some of the whole movements that have come, the Toronto Blessing Movement, that came from men. It didn't come from God. And how do we know this? Because if you begin to take apart and compare these various movements to Scripture, there's error there. And it's not only little error, it's huge error that destroys the whole gospel. You cannot add anything that's false to the truth and remain and have truth. And yet men continue to do that. Paul's saying, this didn't come from men. What I'm presenting to you came from God. And now he's going to present to us why he knows that this is true. For ye have heard of my conversion. And that's where it began, when Paul was converted. What does conversion mean? It means there's been a transformation in his life. His way of thinking turned 180 degrees. He was literally running after the teachings and the philosophies of men and this world, which were against God and aligning themselves with Satan. And when God got a hold of him, he was converted, and that conversion resulted in turning around and going the other direction, where he followed the teachings of the Lord, and the truth of the Lord was what came out of his mouth and not the teachings of men. And so he says that his conversion is where it began. For I neither received it of men, and was taught of the revelation, but it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what his conversion resulted from, was when Jesus revealed himself to the Apostle Paul. Likewise, when you converted to Jesus Christ, it's when the Holy Spirit revealed to you who Jesus really was. Jesus just isn't something that you come to church and you say words or prayers or sing some hymns, but Jesus is real. He truly is the Son of God that came to earth to take away the sins of men. He really did die on the cross. He really was buried. He really did rise again on the third day. He really did ascend into heaven. He is really God come in the flesh, and he is who he says he is. And when the Lord revealed himself to Paul, that's when Paul's conversion occurred. When the Lord revealed himself to you and you accepted who Jesus was, that's when your conversion occurred. And Paul says that's the key of becoming a Christian, is the revelation of Christ in our life and the acceptance of him as our Messiah and the one who forgives our sins. He says, for you have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion. Now, Paul was steeped in the Jewish religion. Now, what is the Jewish religion that Paul was steeped in? Well, he was caught up in the laws of Moses, and in the book of Romans, he reveals to us what the law of Moses was designed for. The law of Moses was never designed to save anybody, but it was rather designed as a schoolmaster, if you would. That's what Paul calls the law. He says it was given to us as a schoolmaster. What does the schoolmaster do? When you go to school, the teacher, and unfortunately, if many children today wouldn't understand this example because teachers don't do this today, but when I was going to school, and even greater when my parents and grandparents were going to school, the schoolmaster came and his whole purpose there was to instruct you so that you could learn, and you could learn what he taught you, and you could apply that to your life. Well, what is the law? How is that a schoolmaster to us? Well, it reveals to us some amazing things. The first thing that the law reveals to us is that we've got a sin problem. It shows us that we are sinners, that we can't possibly meet what God has put before us to do and obey him 100%. And when we disobey him, we sin. And then the second thing it shows us is that when we do sin, what happens is we have to pay for the sins that we have committed. When you go out and you break the law, the city out here has a law about speeding. My wife and I were just talking this last week, and also this evening, we're just talking about, you notice around town, you see all these little fancy sports cars, and they're all, it seems to be racing up and down the streets. And I just had the other night, somebody that came up alongside me on the wrong side, he was really just about on the sidewalk, passed me going really fast, cut in front of me, cut around another car, zipped in and out, and down he went. And guess what? Everything he did was breaking the law. And there was no policeman there, so he didn't get stopped. But he had violated and broken the law. Had there been a policeman that seen him, he could have stopped him and given exhibition driving, speeding, and a number of other things he could have been penalized with. Had he been stopped by a policeman and revealed that he had broken the law, he'd be accountable to pay the penalty. Well, that's what the law reveals to us, is that we break the law every day. When we lie, when we take something that isn't ours, when we harbor ill feelings towards people, when we lust after things or people or whatever, what we're doing is we're breaking God's law. And there's a penalty that has to be paid when we break the law. The third thing that the law shows us is that none of us can pay the penalty. It shows us that no matter how hard we try, we just can't pay it. And how do you pay something when you can't pay it? Then the only way you can is to be brought in and pay the penalty that results from what you've broken. The fourth thing the law shows us is that the penalty that we must pay is that we bear accountable before a holy and righteous God, must give account for our lives, and we pay by experiences His wrath against our sin, and He deals with the sin in our life. But the fifth thing shows that with this is a hopeless condition. And so the schoolmaster of the law is showing us we've got this hopeless condition. But then the law also reveals to us that God's got a plan. And His plan was to send someone who could pay the penalty. So this is the schoolmaster, and this is basically just a very brief overview of what the schoolmaster law was teaching us. And so Paul said that this schoolmaster, he was involved, but he thought that somehow he could obey all the laws and it would be okay. And if he broke some, it really wouldn't matter because he kind of weighed it in the balances, and as long as he did more right than wrong, God would accept him. And that was where Paul was. That was the Jewish religion. If you go to Orthodox Judaism today, they believe the same thing. They keep the law, and they try to keep the law meticulously. They say their prayers meticulously. They dress the way that they think the law is telling them to dress. They have their hair the way they think the law is telling them to have their hair. They do everything the way they think the law is telling them to do, and they try to keep it all. But guess what? They still have days where they may lie, where they may cheat, where they may bear false witness, where they may not honor the Lord 100%. And if they don't want to ever teach out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, they're breaking the law there too, because they're never talking about the Messiah. And so we see that even though no matter how hard they try, they can't keep the law. Well, that's Paul's condition, because it's basically men trying to apply the law of God and make that, through their manipulation, a means by which they can achieve salvation. So Paul says, I was involved in that. He said, I was in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it. And because he was in the Jews' religion, he thought that he was serving God by persecuting the church, and when he says wasted it, trying to destroy it. And literally he was having people thrown into prison, and you can read in the book of Acts that he was on his way to Damascus when he met Jesus, when Jesus appeared to him on the road. And his purpose in going to Damascus was to have people thrown in prison or literally taken back to Jerusalem and put to death because they were following Jesus. And so he was persecuting and wasting the church, and it profited in the Jews' religion above my equals. He says, I was greater in Judaism than anyone else. A lot of people who have studied the life of Paul and have studied those that were his teachers really believe that Paul was being prepared for a position of great leadership within the Jewish religion, and probably would have been sitting on the Sanhedrin or having other positions of tremendous leadership ahead of him, and that's what he was being prepared for. He was a great intellect. He was a wonderful student. He was learning all these things even better than all the rest of those that were around him. But the problem was he didn't listen to what the law was teaching him, and he was going about it the wrong way. And so he says, I profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And so tradition became the foundation for his life, not the Word of God, and he sought to please men more than he really understood how you please God. So this was Paul's condition. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Now he tells us some interesting things. The Apostle Paul says, who gave him life? God gave him life. That's what he's saying. When it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb, that means when he was born, and God, he acknowledges that God gave him life. Everyone that's sitting here, when you were separated from your mother's womb, you experienced physical life. That physical life was given to you by God. And it was given to you by God for a purpose. And God has placed his calling upon each one of us, just like he placed his calling upon the Apostle Paul. Paul could have chosen to reject that calling and denied it, but instead he didn't. And we're going to see why he didn't in just a moment. But it says here that he acknowledges that God gave him life. Then he says, and called me by his grace. It is only by the grace of God that God reveals to any man that Jesus died on the cross. It's only by the grace of God that he sent his Son to die on the cross. It's only by the grace of God that he sends his Spirit to convict us of our sin. It's by God's grace that he opens up our eyes that we can understand and be convicted of our sin and have the opportunity to turn to him and receive that blessed gift of salvation that is found in Christ. So Paul says he acknowledges that his life, his physical life, is due to God. He acknowledges it is only by God's grace that he has been saved, and it is only by God's grace that any of us are saved. And so he goes on, and then he says, what happened? He says, it was by God's grace that he to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. And so God revealed Jesus to the Apostle Paul, convicting him of his sin, opening his eyes to the truth, and Paul was brought under tremendous conviction of what he had been doing and what his need to turn to Jesus. Remember when Paul was confronted by the Lord, Jesus said to him, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul, why kick you against the pricks? Why are you fighting against what I want you to do? You think that you're walking in righteousness, but you're really fighting against me. And you need to come under my love and under my forgiveness, under the depth of my grace, that you may accomplish what I have set for you to accomplish. And I've done more marvelous things that you could ever accomplish, going after your own fleshly desires. And that's the same thing in each one of our lives. We do not understand what God has in store for each one of us if we but allow him to work through us and do what he has set out for us to do. One of the prayers we had tonight is that God would bring into our lives people that we have opportunities to share with. That was one of the prayer requests. And what we need to do is take advantage of those opportunities. I really enjoy listening to Mark Cahill and listened to some of his messages, read some of his books. And one of the things that he does is he says every day he wakes up and he prays, Lord, bring somebody into my life today. I don't know who it's going to be, but I pray you bring somebody into my life that I have the opportunity to share the gospel with. Give me the boldness to share and the right words to share, and Lord, let me do it. And he gives some amazing opportunities that God has given to him in answer to that prayer. One of the things that I need to learn from Mark is he said, you know, when I go to the airport, I used to get upset when my plane would get canceled or my flight would be late or something like that would happen. He said, that doesn't happen anymore. He said, God convicted me. No, Mark, I've got something in store for you, and there's situations that are going to result from that. So he said, now I go, and when that happens, I go, Lord, who do you have for me to meet that I wouldn't have met otherwise? And he gave a couple examples. He said, one time he was in the Atlanta airport waiting for his flight, and his flight got canceled. And at the same time, there was a man sitting close by who went up, and then he came back, and he was really agitated because, guess what, his flight had been canceled too. And they were both put on later flights, and so they're sitting there talking, and Mark said he had the opportunity to talk to that man and share the gospel with him. Had their flights not been canceled, Mark said, I never would have had that opportunity to talk to the man, because he would have gone on his flight and I would have gone on my flight. About a month later, Mark had another flight canceled, and guess who he saw sitting in the airport? The same guy who had his flight canceled as well. God can arrange circumstances for us to meet people that we never would have met, but we need to ask him, Lord, give me those opportunities. And then when he does, we need to take advantage of them. The Apostle Paul began to see that God had called him to a special ministry that he never could have done and never would have accomplished, and because he wouldn't have been, number one, preaching the truth, and secondly, he wouldn't have been led by the Spirit of God. So Apostle Paul says that the Son revealed to him that he might preach the gospel among the heathen. Now, this is an amazing thing in and of itself. The Apostle Paul, who was a Jew of Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews, that's by his own testimony in another one of his letters, and as he's this, he would have never, ever gone and taught heathen. He would have viewed them as dogs. He would have said they're not worthy to hear. For example, we can see a little bit of that when Jesus went through Samaria on his way back to Jerusalem with his disciples. His disciples went to town to get food, and Jesus stayed at the well. And remember, there was a woman at the well. Now, she was there in the middle of the day, which wasn't the time of day that women normally went to draw water. They'd either go in the morning or the evening, and they all go together. It was a kind of a community activity, a time of socialization. So you know that if she was out there in the middle of the day, there were some issues. And she was there in the middle of the day drawing her water by herself. And number two, she was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. The Jews did not talk to the Samaritans. As a matter of fact, the disciples couldn't even understand why Jesus was going through Samaria. And when they came back, they were really upset because they saw him talking to this woman, this Samaritan woman. Yet Jesus went to that Samaritan woman because he knew that her heart was ripe to hear the truth. And he told her, before he told just about anybody else, that he was the Messiah. And he revealed to her that he had come to give her living water, to transform her life and to save her. And if you can imagine, he spoke to a woman that nobody else would speak to, and he who was a Jewish man was speaking to a woman who was viewed below them by many people in his culture, and yet he was sharing with her the message that would transform her life. And then she went and shared with her whole village what he had told her. And we see that Jesus did the same for the Apostle Paul. He transformed his thinking. Later on, Jesus transformed the apostles' thinking, the rest of the apostles, so that they saw the importance of taking the gospel to the whole world. And that's what he did with Paul. He said, I've called you to be an apostle to the heathen. This is something Paul never would have done on his own, but Jesus called him. And so we see that he says, then after he was called to the heathen, he says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Well, who did he confer with? Who did Paul go to learn from? I believe that Paul went and prayed and studied God's word. And if he talked to anybody, it would have been some of the Christians that would have been in that area. But I believe that the main thing is he spent time with the Lord. And God's Spirit began to open up Paul's eyes to the truth of the gospel within the scriptures as he read it. And so he said that he spent time, he went to Arabia, which is the opposite direction of Jerusalem from Damascus. If you go to Damascus and you go to, I should have put the map up, but Arabia is southeast. Jerusalem is southwest. It's the opposite direction, Arabia from Damascus, and from Jerusalem. But he went to Arabia, and then when he was, after he'd been there, then he went back to Damascus where the Lord had confronted him, and he went and probably met with some of the Christians that he met there that had been there to witness to him. And you can read that account of the witnessing of them to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He didn't go up there for a long time. He didn't go up there to be taught. He went up there to meet with him. And he went up there to deal and to just make sure that his gospel was aligning with the gospel they had. But he wasn't going there to be taught by him. And the only other person he met on that trip was James, the Lord's brother. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and that would have been north of Jerusalem. And he went out into that area, which was a heathen country. And he said, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. And so when he was in Jerusalem and in the area of Judea, the Christians there didn't know who he was. They hadn't met him. He'd been away, and they never met him, but they'd heard about him. And we'll close here tonight. He says, but they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which was once destroyed. In other words, he's preaching the gospel which he was going out and trying to destroy, the church he was trying to waste, now he's adding to it. And they glorified God in me. And what they'd seen in his life made them glorify the Lord and praise God. So this is the same thing that God's calling us to do, not to be an apostle, not to go to the heathen as Paul did, but rather to go and be used by Paul, by the Lord, to reach those that he's called us to reach, to fulfill his calling, the great commission he's given to us, to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth, and to preach to whoever God brings into our life, and that we can be used by God as Paul was, and it's not following the teachings of men, but following the gospel which is taught to us by the Lord. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand your truth, help us to apply these truths to our life, and Lord, help us to really desire to be used by you, even as Paul was used by you, and as other Christians throughout history have been used by you. And Lord, in the day in which we live, there's great opportunities that lay before us if we will but open our hearts and eyes to see how you have placed them before us and allow your Spirit to speak through us to touch hearts and lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 637, This is the Time I Must Sing.